This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments, a weekly podcast to proclaim and to ponder our Sunday Mass readings. Well, today is the Sunday. It's the last Sunday in ordinary time. And since 1925, we have celebrated this feast of the Solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. It is November 20th for this Sunday, and this closes our liturgical year. Next week, we will begin a new liturgical year in the season of Advent. And so while our physical calendars, the 12 months of the year, don't end quite yet, in the church, we close down one season and we open up a new beginning with the coming of Advent. And so we have been listening to readings over the last few weeks in November that really reflect the end times. In fact, the final things are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And so we've been hearing little bits of that through the scriptures. And today we really get this culmination of reminding us that we have a king who is a king of all kings. And he is a king not of the earth, as we may recognize and have recognized in past centuries of kings and emperors of a particular area, but he is the king of the universe. I want to open with two of the prayers that you may hear your priest proclaim in the Mass for this day. And the entrance antiphon is so beautiful. It comes from the scripture in Revelation chapter 5. It's based on a little bit of Revelation. Our entrance antiphon for the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. How worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and divinity and wisdom and strength and honor. To him belong glory and power forever and ever. Our collect today, as we look to this feast, you'll hear these words prayed. Almighty ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the Universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceasingly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever. Amen. Our first reading today for the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, comes from the second book of Samuel, chapter 5. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be commander of Israel.' When all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel." The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 122. "Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord. And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, in it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Our second reading is a letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the cross. We hear about the cross referred to in the letter of Colossians today. Of course, we are taken to the crucifixion scene in the readings that we hear today for the feast of Jesus Christ the King. And we hear about a king. We hear about King David in the first reading in Samuel. And I just want to mention something about Samuel because we hear a little bit of the characteristic of a true king. And we've heard Pope Francis, one of the popes, who has said, you know, a leader is one who is, or and he particularly talks about the shepherd as one who smells like the sheep. He's walking and being a companion, an accompaniment to those that he cares for. And so he's there right in the front lines, right in the dangers and in the difficulties of life, are our shepherds, are our leaders, those who are true leaders. And the people really felt like David was a true leader. He treated the people like a shepherd, and a shepherd in those days would do everything to protect and to ensure the livelihood of the sheep. The sheep, a lot of times, didn't make very good decisions. They didn't learn from their mistakes as we're supposed to with the minds that we're given. But they say in the scripture here, "You shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be a commander of Israel." And the people say, "You are a bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. You are like one of us." And where do we hear that? You know, we hear that as creation and the account of creation in Genesis, you know, that Adam is made and then woman is made, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And so we are made in the image and likeness of God. And so we are to be like that. And so there was a recognition of the people in the time of David to recognize his kingship. And I thought it was interesting. I looked at the a little bit after that reading in 2 Samuel, if you go to chapter 5, and it's just beautiful, this recognition of David as king of Israel. And following the reading that we hear today, which only goes until verse 3, it says, "David was 30 years old when he became king." Think about that. He reigned 40 years. And he reigned in Hebron. He was the king over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, now listen to this, in Jerusalem, David was king 33 years over all of Israel and Judah. And I was just thinking, you know, as we look at David foreshadowing the kingship of Jesus Christ, the king of the universe, that when Jesus entered his public ministry, he was 30 years old. We hear that he spent about 3 years in his ministry, the healing miracles, the gathering of the different apostles, and then eventually it would lead to his passion, death, and resurrection, and that he lived a full year, a full 33 years on earth. And just an interesting thing about the numbers of King David corresponding with the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, our true king. But the King David and our Lord Jesus Christ have that similar characteristic of wanting to walk with those who are on the margins, wanting to walk with us in our daily lives, in our family life, in the work, in the toil of daily life. This is what David did, is he really looked and worked with and for the people. He identified with the people. And here is Jesus walking alongside. And it was pointed out in one of the homilies I just heard that a few weeks ago, we heard Jesus looking up into the tree. He was looking up to see Zacchaeus, and he called Zacchaeus down. You know, he's finding us wherever we are. And whether Zacchaeus was hiding, he was trying to get a glimpse of this Jesus, but Jesus finds us. Our Lord and our true King will find us wherever we are and wants to invite us down to be with him. But where does he invite us to join him? He really invites us to join him on the cross. We hear so many times when Jesus calls his apostles in the gospel readings, "Come and follow me, pick up your cross." You know, those who are my disciples will be ones who will pick up their cross. They will live the lives they are destined to live, in the difficulties, in the hardships, in the financial troubles, in the physical difficulties of a diagnosis, of a death, of whatever might happen in our lives that is difficult and hard to undergo. And yet we hear in Colossians some beautiful lines, "He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom." Here we get the sense of the kingdom of his beloved Son, that this world, this temporal time that we have right here is only for a moment. And yet eternity is what it says. It is eternity. But we do need to live this life, and we need to live it well. But we see that when we are in the darkness, when we are in the hardships of our life, really, our Lord Jesus Christ is with us on that cross. It says in Colossians, "Making peace by the blood of the cross through him, whether those on earth or in heaven." And so I just want to meditate a little bit on on being on the cross. And maybe you've seen a movie, certainly the movie The Passion, but there have been other films and dramas that have really dramatized this gospel reading of the Passion of Jesus Christ. And we see maybe depicted in different ways these two thieves. We call one the good thief and we call one the bad thief. But we see these two criminals. And we don't know exactly, but it seems to me that these criminals probably watched and were part of the procession as these criminals were, they were forced to carry their cross through the town to that point of crucifixion, and they would place that cross in the dirt. And then, of course, those criminals would be nailed, you know, with their hands and their feet, they would be nailed upon that cross. It was those most horrible, I can't even imagine, right? That horrible way of execution. And these two criminals who were found guilty for whatever crime that they committed, they are receiving a punishment for something that they did wrong. And yet, as the people are jeering Jesus, see, Jesus is even being taunted, well, why don't you save yourself if you are the king? And we know he is, and we know he could. And yet his mission on earth, he was born to die. So when we die, we live. And so he wasn't going to stop the mission in the middle to appease a few people or to just kind of prove his glory. No, he's going to follow the Lord's and his Father's plan, which is through the power of the cross, through his innocent blood being shed, he will be and is our king forever. And somehow, through some beautiful grace of God, one criminal recognizes this man didn't do anything wrong, yet he is being crucified just like us. But we did do something wrong. We do have to amend for our sins. And now he's got some contriteness of heart. It's almost the sense of a repentance that he recognizes the one thief. I did do something wrong, and I do deserve a punishment. But the other criminal continues to jeer and continues to accuse and sneer at Jesus. Yet the good thief says, have you no fear of God? He recognizes in his presence, there is the Lord. And so he calls out to Jesus and says, he's just asking, would you please think of me? You know, think of me when you go to your kingdom. See, he recognizes that Jesus has a larger kingdom. But Jesus doesn't just do that. He will say that today you will be with me in paradise. You will be in that kingdom with me because of your faith. So Jesus gives us much more than when we're what we're asking for. So my invitation to myself, to all of us, is when we're on that cross, when we have loved ones on that cross, what is that cross? It's the difficulties of life. It's the sins in life. It's those things that keep flustering us, or the little imperfections that we can see in ourselves when we see the imperfections in others. It's in maybe the physical difficulties that we have, the emotional, the spiritual, the financial, the relationship. There's so many crosses that we have. But when we're on that cross, will we see Jesus with us? He is with us on that cross. He went on the cross for you and for me. And so when we find ourselves maybe pouring down our heart through tears and on our knees because of a situation in our own lives, in the lives of our loved ones, in the lives of our country, in our world, we're pouring out this heart that's so sorrowful. Don't forget that Jesus is on the cross with us, and he wants us to embrace that cross. The more we embrace that cross and we embrace God's presence, we will experience his peace. We will experience his joy. We will experience his life that will give us the endurance that we need to make it through that day. Only through the grace of Jesus, only through the grace of King Jesus. So call on King Jesus. And when you're in that hard difficulty, pick up a cross, pick up your rosary, pick up that crucifix, hold it tight to your heart and say, Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, be with me. You are with me today. You're with my loved one. You're with our country. You're with my priest. You're with my leaders in the world that I'm just feeling so sorrowful about. Go on the cross. Be with Jesus. He is there with us. Jesus is the King and the Lord of the universe. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Have a blessed Christ the King Sunday, and next week we'll wish you all a blessed Advent. Peace be with you. You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.